Good morning. I'm going to start off with, it's actually an honor and a privilege to come before you on this day. This is a monumental day here at Eastside, and I'm thankful to be able to still have the ability to be here and present what we're going to talk about today. Today, and I'm going to try to stay on script and not go on rabbit trails. Y'all know I'm bad about that. Today, February 16th, 2025, is a monumental day here at Eastside as we appoint men to serve as an elder and deacons. The selection process, as you well know, began in December of 2024 when Coy Baldwin presented a sermon about stepping up. Next, I went over qualifications given in the scriptures for elders in 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7, and Titus 1, 5 through 9, and those for deacons in 1 Timothy 3, 8 through 10, and 12 and 13. And that was when we did our State of the Eastside address. We had a men's meeting shortly after that, and we discussed elders and deacons and asked men to consider whether they were qualified and ready to step up and serve. In January of 2025, we had sermons presented by Todd McAdams on the qualifications. And then 2 weeks ago, we announced the names of the men who were ready to step up and serve. In the past 2 weeks, Ed and I have met with the men and their wives, and the members of the congregation have had time to visit with them if they so chose. To our visitors today, we welcome you. You get to witness in our adding of one man to join our current two elders and three men to join the four men currently serving as deacons. As we follow the New Testament pattern of having elders and deacons leading and serving a congregation of saints. Now, God saw fit for leaders to be introduced to the congregation and saw fit for leaders to be commissioned and to be charged to fulfill the responsibilities for the local congregation. In Numbers 27, 18 through 23, we read, "So the Lord said to Moses, 'Take Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him, and have him stand before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and commission him in their sight. You shall put some of your authority on him in order that all the congregation of the sons of Israel may obey him. Moreover, he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall inquire for him by the judgment of the Urim before the Lord. At his command, they shall go out, and at his command they shall come in, both he and the sons of Israel with him, even all the congregation. Moses did just as the Lord commanded him, and he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation. Then he laid his hands on him and commissioned him, just as the Lord had spoken through Moses." Now in Deuteronomy 31 and 23, "Then he commissioned Joshua, the son of Nun, and said, 'Be strong and courageous, for you shall bring the sons of Israel into the land which I swore to them, and I will be with you.'" In Deuteronomy 34, 9, "Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him, and the sons of Israel listened to him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses." We observe in this that Joshua was set before the people. The people were encouraged to see Joshua as a leader. He was given a commission to lead the people. And Moses commissioned him, approved him, and installed him into that leadership role. The church, which Jesus said, "I will build," in Matthew 16, 18, has been in existence on this earth since AD 33. The government he gave the church is one where Christ continues to rule as the supreme head. In Ephesians 1, 22 through 23, and he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. By his authority, the disciples of Christ formed local groups called churches of Christ. In Romans 16, 16, greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. Those local churches were then placed under the loving oversight of men called elders, bishops, shepherds, overseers, or pastors. Now, I've been over them in the past. We're going to go over them again. Qualifications for elders. In 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7, it is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, it is a fine work he aspires to do. An overseer then must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not addicted to wine or pugnacious, but gentle, peaceable, free from the love of money. He must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. But if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? And not a new convert, so that he will not become conceited and fall into the condemnation incurred by the devil. And he must have a good reputation with those outside the church, so that he will not fall into the reproach and the snare of the devil. In Titus 1, 5 through 9, for this reason I left you in Crete, that you would set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I directed you. Namely, if any man is above reproach, the husband of one wife, having children who believe, not accused of dissipation or rebellion. For the overseer must be above reproach as God's steward, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not addicted to wine, not pugnacious, not fond of sordid gain, but hospitable, loving what is good, sensible, just, devout, and self-controlled, holding fast to the faithful word which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict. Our elders are committed to both the physical and spiritual growth of this congregation, while remaining true to the Bible example of how a church should conduct itself. 2 weeks ago, Chester Ferguson's name was placed before the congregation to be an elder. At this time, I would like for Chester to come and stand before the congregation. As stated in 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4, therefore I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you. Exercise an oversight not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness. Not yet as lording it over those allotted your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. As elders, we do not take all that lightly and really take it to heart. Now, Chester, are you prepared and willing to accept the responsibility to serve the Eastside congregation as an elder to the best of your God-given abilities and talent.
Yes, I am.
Would you be seated? At this time, I would like Ed Aiken to come and lead us in prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this opportunity that we have once again to assemble during Thy work here at Eastside. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll be with us in our congregation of Thy people. We be with us, that we support Chester and the other elders here at Eastside as they assume their duties to lead this congregation so that all of us may reach heaven and have an eternal life with You. We pray that You'll be with Chester. Give him a long and useful life in Thy service. Give him a clear memory. Give him the ability to find the things he needs when he's challenged. Dear Lord, we know that as elders, we don't have a playbook that says what each condition might be, but we have to use our experience and our knowledge from the Scriptures to make our decisions so that each of us may make an eternal life with Thee. We pray that You be with us through the remainder of this service. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. In Acts 1 through 7, we are given an example of the first men being chosen and commissioned by the apostles to be servants in the local congregation. Now, at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. So the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. But we will devote ourselves in prayer and to the ministry of the word." The statement found approval with the whole congregation. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. And these they brought before the apostle, and after praying, they laid their hands on them. The word of God kept on spreading, and the number of disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. Now, let's look at 1 Timothy 3. 8 through 10, and 12 through 13. Deacons, likewise, must be men of dignity, not double-tongued, or addicted to much wine, or fond of sordid gain, but holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. These men must first be tested, and let them serve as deacons if they are beyond reproach. Deacons must be husbands of only one wife and good managers of their children and their households. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a high standing and great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. Now at this time I would like for Darren Burks, Gary Denson, and Andre Villarreal to come forward and face the congregation. Darren Burks, are you prepared and willing to accept the responsibilities to serve the Eastside congregation to the best of your God-given abilities and talents as a deacon?
Yes, sir.
Gary Denson, are you prepared and willing to accept the responsibilities to serve the Eastside congregation to the best of your God-given abilities and talents as a deacon? Andre Villarreal, are you prepared and willing to accept the responsibilities to serve the Eastside congregation to the best of your God-given abilities and talents as a deacon?
I am.
You may be seated. At this time, I would like for our present deacons to please stand wherever you're at. Mike, Larry, Jose, and somebody's in the booth. There he is. He just came in the back door. Moises. Thank y'all. Now, to the congregation, I'll be reading 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 through 25. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete, without blame, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. Brethren, pray for us. Eastside brethren, we elders, we love y'all, and we want the best for you, which is heaven. We're all in this together. At this time, I would like for Chester Ferguson to come and lead us in prayer.
Let's pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for giving these men the opportunity and the privilege to do as they think is fit. And we want to serve you, Father, in all the ways that we can. And the congregation needs to be behind us, guiding us and helping us as well. We can't do it alone. So that you will take all of us, Father, to get to heaven, and that's our main goal. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. May we all someday be in heaven together and look back with pleasure and appreciation that we could walk together in this life on our journey to heaven. May we realize that we all helped each other to victory, and what a victory that will be. There may be someone in our audience who has not started their Christian journey. If you have heard the word, ask the Son of God, and you are willing to repent and confess, now is the time. You need to make corrections in your life to continue on your journey. Now is that time. Don't wait. If you have a need to be baptized or make correction in your life, come forward now as we stand and sing.